Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
When do we plan to start?
Fuck off.
I think we could start any moment, Chairman.
Just you go and out with them. She's kicked Barry out, so I'm leaving. No, Barry. No, Barry has gone. Shh. I'll stay.
We're trying to have a Teams meeting, you fool. We're trying to have a Teams meeting, you fool. We can't if you've got that.
We just don't.
Jackie. It's Red News Podcast 101, and we're late to the party, but I had to play the start of the Jackie Weaver thing for two things, because you can never, ever, I think, beat a fuck off at the start of anything. It's a great term, and we still never found out who the perpetrator of the fuck off was, and also that second bit where the bloke gets so angry, sounds like Gollum. So anyway, look. Yesterday was a kick in the bollocks. I'm going to try and not get worked up because this is my current behind closed door zen. I did the sensible thing. Nick sent a message later on in the night saying, God, Twitter's really bad. And I just switched off after the game, which is the one benefit of not being there. You just avoid it all. As soon as I saw two defensive midfielders, my heart sunk, really. And that's, you know, there are some things that are ongoing with Ollie that always just niggle at you. The substitutions, you know, change it earlier. And why would you only use two? Why would the second one be in the 80th minute? Why is it always the same substitutions as well? Why not have, you know, I see James constantly slagged off, but give him a go. He could offer something different. And it was just painful. You know, we didn't get crosses into Cavani. Maguire said you're not going to get, you know, eight or nine opportunities against a side like West Brom. And someone pointed it elsewhere. But yeah, you are. They've let in 50-odd goals. That's the one thing they are. So this, you know, it's a Sam Allardyce team. They defend like this. They won't. They haven't been. You know, I know they've got results at Anfield. But the collective is they're a poor team. We gave them hope. They're defending for the first one. And what's worrying is MUTV last week had a thing where Maguire said he's on Shaw's back all the time. And I thought, are you forgetting about the rest of the others around you? But they showed a clip of him at Fulham where he's, you know, constantly at him, which you don't get to see. But you think that was more worrying for me. And I was thinking this before West Brom that he's actually commanding the line. It's like we think they don't, but this is what they're like. And then you've got the De Gea from Everton. So it's just felt a bit flat, but I'm trying not to let it get to me. I think like Ollie said this, you don't feel the imposter's the same that Busby said. When you win 9-0, you know, you think, yeah, that's great. But 10 days down the line, you don't throw your toys out of the pram. Let's see where we are at the end of the season. There are niggles about Ollie that he makes, and he's got to change this, you know, against certain teams. But, you know, the biggest thing against Everton and West Brom, I wrote, now we're never going to get another Paul Scholes, but Fernandes is a player who's, you know, like right on the edge of the box, involved in play, scoring the goals. But what you need is almost a player behind him who he can lay it off to, who's got the nous to try something different. We were so predictable. And that was the unfortunate thing. And the final thing, the West Ham Cup game. We've said about the squad being better. But when, I think I said it to all of you, when that team sheet came in, you know, and he mixed it up playing a few of the reserves or the subs, you suddenly realise we only had Fernandes and who was the other one on the bench? Cavani. Our squad is not as good as what I thought it was. And that's irrespective. That was our, you know, during a win. So there are worries, but I'm not going to. Well, it's all so pointless at times getting worked up that I had to remove myself. Right, sorry, long intro. Nick.
Been a bit of a weird one, hasn't it, really, since we last spoke. And obviously we had the West Ham game, which, you know, the less said about that, the better. That was a terrible, boring match. But I mean, obviously, back to yesterday, really, against West Brom, obviously it was poor. I agree with you that Tooled in midfielders was pretty bad. I think the worst thing that really annoyed me yesterday about the full-time whistle was we got all the way to West Brom and we didn't even create one chance for Cavani. You know, I don't remember him even getting a touch inside the 6-yard area or the 18-yard area where I thought he could, like, have a go. I don't think he had a shot. It's pretty depressing. I mean, one of the only bright sparks I could take from yesterday, I always like to try and find a positive. There's always some positive that's in there somewhere. I still think that if you look at our best squad, I still think that Greenwood is in that best team. Rightly or wrongly, if he's brilliant or he's not brilliant, but I still think he offers more than, you know, even more so than Rashford. I know we've gone around the houses with Martial and stuff, but I still think we're better in there with Greenwood. I think he gives us something else. It means, obviously, Rashford can go over to his favoured side. I was just disappointed all round yesterday. To play Southampton and score 9 goals and then to go to West Brom and not even have 9 shots was pretty depressing. But we've seen this pattern with the bottom three, where we played Fulham a couple of weeks ago and they took the lead against us. We then played Sheffield United in the bottom three, they take the lead against us and then go on and win. And then we play West Brom and it's like we just don't seem to learn from these mistakes that we continue to do. We go 1-0 down and we can't quite overturn it, and we play with one hand behind our back. So, you know, again, it comes back to a little bit about tactics and a little bit about having these holding midfielders. But, you know, it's more frustrating when you can't quite get over the line against these bottom teams, where we were doing a few weeks ago and it was a case of we weren't getting the results against your Cities and your Liverpools, but we're saying, well, that's not that bad. You know, we're looking at saying, oh, well, if you get the results, if you don't get the results in and around the top four, as long as you're beating everybody else, then you'll go on and probably be there or thereabouts at the end of the season. We had this conversation, I think it was at the start of the year. So it's been a bit of a mad turnaround, really, with playing those teams in the bottom three, where we seem to go back to how we were under Moyes and Van Gaal, where we just can't really seem to beat anyone that sits back behind, puts 11 men behind the ball.
I was going to, you know, the thing of the last two podcasts is, can we? Well, we know, no, we can't. That's the answer to that. What I will say, in mitigation, people aren't going to like hearing this, but we're flogging a dead horse with some players. You know, like Greenwood had played the 120 minutes or whatever. You can't expect him. The relentless nature of this is seeing results up and down for nearly every team apart from City, who've hit that form. So every team suffered. That's not mitigation for Victor Lindelof. You know, the one thing we get right, the bloke who gave us the one-star review, I'll mention him one more time, saying they talked about not wanting Sancho. The point we were making, all of us, was we needed a central defender, and it's come home to roost. I will say, Nick, you know, was it we've been behind 8 times in the Premier League this season, and we've won 7 of them. So it was bound to happen. The unfortunate thing is we've hit a sticky patch right at a time when you thought we had momentum and you don't want it to happen. It's how they react. Coggy?
I'm fed up. I'm fed up of conceding the first goal. I'm fed up of Lindelof being out-muscled. I'm fed up of Maguire being out of position and being easily pushed over. I'm fed up of the fact that Fred can't pass. I'm fed up of Martial being shit. I'm fed up of Rashford playing on the right. And I'm fed up of people telling me that Married at First Sight in Australia is worth fucking watching, which sums it all up. And I know what we're saying about let's not get carried away with Southampton, so let's not get too disappointed about yesterday. Take Southampton at the mix. And have we played well since the new year? I don't think we have. You know, it's the trend. You know, we go behind, we start slowly, go behind, and manage then to raise our game. Failed against Sheffield United. West Brom, we all knew what West Brom were going to do yesterday. You know, a typical Sam Allardyce performance. You know, he brought in a couple of players who were big and aggressive, and we just didn't know how to cope with them. And can I just add, Snodgrass, I thought was outstanding yesterday, because Snodgrass actually kept Shaw from overlapping and putting the crosses into Cavani. I thought Snodgrass was absolutely superb. Yeah.
But the worry there, Coggy, is that I think is we don't seem to have a plan B. So say when that happens, you need the coaching staff to then go, right, they've done something we haven't prepared for, or maybe we have. So how do we now, you know, because We just appear very one-dimensional, and Fernandez gets us out of jail time and time. And don't get me wrong, you know, I'm so happy. I'm not so happy about everything. When we were 2-0 up against Everton, no team, you know, it's going to happen once every blue moon, but no team should throw away a 2-0 lead at home. It's fucking ridiculous. So I was angry about that. I'll go to Shane, sorry, mate, but I was so bored during the West Ham game. I watched that Cat Lawyer video and it was so dull, I thought I'll start getting into the stats. So Rashford and Martial, I didn't realise they made a big deal of Rashford. Says Martial's current form. They didn't really make a big deal that he'd made his 250th appearance. So they've both made 250 appearances. Roughly the same age, 18, 19 from that sixth season. They're on their sixth season. Rashford, in 250 games, has scored... what is it we're on? 83 goals. Martial has scored 78 goals. Now, the thing is, I then thought, well, what about Rooney? Now we know Rooney, you know, but he got slated, and in his first six seasons, he eventually played 282 games. And it made me, my first thing, have we overworked Rashford? But obviously we played Rooney more, and he scored 131 goals. So they're 50 down on what the top level, you know, and this is Rashford's not being played out of position, but it's almost like we're trying to fit them into positions to create form. The Martial thing is now just almost infuriating because he lost the number 9 shirt he sold. He then has been ousted by Cavani and doesn't seem to want to battle for any sort of position. So I just thought it's interesting that where we say, you know, we've got, it's nothing new. We've got to go, we've got to get the striker who's the Rooney, the one in every two. If we're relying on one in every three, it's not going to get us to that next level. Shane, sorry, mate.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree with much what's been said. I think, you know, since we've done the last one, we had the Everton game, which really that felt like a defeat to me because we had that game won, where we had it won twice, in fact, but towards the end, once again, you know, it's that game management thing that just don't seem to be able to see things out. And after we screamed for Ollie to make subs, he makes a daft sub at the end, which was naive. You know, they were going to add extra time. It disrupts the game and ultimately cost us 2 points. I thought West Ham, you know, at the end of the day, it's a cup game. He did make some changes. It was awful, but at the end of the day, you're in the hat. And if we get to, you know, if you get to a final, you forget about the games on the way. I did think against West Ham, like one thing that struck me, and I hadn't really thought of it, noticed it before, but given our defence isn't the most command at the moment, I thought Henderson added quite a lot in that game. You know, he commands the air more than De Gea does. He comes out more sort of quicker for crosses and long balls in, etc. And I think, you know, De Gea, from his early day, it was clearly a tactic that he was told to stay put because of those early errors. That worked well when you've got top-class centre-backs in front of you, but it doesn't work so well with the current pairing. So I think, you know, I'm not saying, you know, I'm a big fan of De Gea's, but I think, to me, Henderson adds a lot more to compensate for the lack of physical stuff in the air, particularly from Lindelof. So I thought that was a positive for the West Ham game. One of the things that struck me recently, and I've not been a big fan of the way he's carried on, but on his recent form, I think we've missed Pogba in this spell. You know, like when we're labouring against teams that sit deeply, Pogba at least can make those more direct balls and direct runs that can open up a team. And I think we've missed that in the last few weeks. And it's been a bit clueless, really, in the sense of, as you said, there's no plan B. And we keep on trying to walk the ball into the net against a team that sit back. And that's never going to work. And there's that lack of, I don't know, a lack of sort of plan B or lack of plan at all, really. We just seem to be relying on bits of individual brilliance to sort of get us results. So I think generally, and yesterday was very disappointing. I know last time we mentioned takeaways. Well, I ate so much of my Chinese takeaway on Saturday night, I could hardly move yesterday. And I kind of, it looked like that our team had done the same, really, because that first half was woeful, you know. And I thought it just looked, they did look tired, and I know it has been relentless, but nevertheless, like you said, if a clown like me can predict what West Brom are going to do,
and we can't
I get that, Shane, but I think we're going to see a lot more injuries in this final phase of the season. Sorry, phase, but we're obviously, you know, the abuse he got afterwards was repulsive, but the substitution didn't bother me because that happens 99 times. You bring on a sub. If De Gea has the ball at 94.06, considering we've done that nervy shit our pants, play it out the back all game, to suddenly lump it long and high, but it was like three mistakes in the making because, all right, you give away a daft free kick, but we also didn't. The goals we concede are preventable, like two or three moves before. We're not conceding world beating goals. We concede, and I do think, you know, it was a foul, but you'd want to see that goal given to you. So I'm not asked about that. But the two problems, De Gea, what has happened to De Gea? You know, but the Vic, I've never trusted him in the air. You know, so that's not. But you add De Gea's form into the mix.
Can I just go back to that Everton substitution? Right? 2 minutes of injury time were left and he made the substitution. Not only did he make the substitution, but he changed the formation.
Yeah.
He changed us from a four, whatever we are, to a three. And that's what caused confusion.
No, and Axel did get in the way. But I just think, Coggy, you know, if you are 2 minutes from... that we lost the opportunity to. If you're 2 minutes, that is not the reason. You know, it was just fucking daftness. You've seen those things. I will say the one thing that we had a laugh, the West Ham game was so dull that Nick lost his BBC on the internet. So it proceeded. I think he got the hump because he can't get BBC through an aerial. Because I think
he should pay his license. If he paid his license like we do, he'd get it.
So for about 20 minutes, I was sending him photos of 1950s people in front of TVs going, this is how an aerial works, Nick. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, that's fine.
I keep saying sorry to you all. Why? I've not done anything.
The game during extra time, and it went off for about 3 minutes. Come back on, it's like, oh, we scored. Oh, great, wonderful.
And he takes the mick out of me having a CD player and he can't even get BBC.
It was an endurance test, so I must admit, like, I was watching it with my lad and it went to extra time. And you think there's nothing to do at the moment, but it went to extra time and we both sighed and it felt like, Christ, we've got to endure another 30 minutes of this. You know, it was grim stuff, really. I don't know. I just think we're in a good position in the league, but I do start to get a bit concerned about this lack of plan B and how predictable we are and how easy it is for teams to set up against us. And it's the teams that can sit back.
Yeah, but also, Shane, the season can unravel quickly. We said that before, like Chelsea, and now Chelsea have got form again. If this continues for four or five games, you're not in the top four anymore. And really, we've got to, if you start like this and you're near the top, you definitely don't want to tail off. We've got to get the cut. I don't know. I just don't want to get into this endless loop of Ollie out, you know, the anger towards him. He's not good enough. I'm just tired. We were doing that a year ago when we were at games. Now we're not at games. But I want to see more from this team. And I just think, you know, I don't think he thinks Bally is fit enough or since the knock he had to play him. But there's big worries, you know, and it shows we're three or four short again, aren't we? You know.
Yeah.
So we could be this never-ending loop that we always seem to be. How do we change it? I don't want to write off this season, but, you know, you've got to get a world-class. But there's games like yesterday. I like Maguire, but there's games like yesterday where I shit myself thinking, nah, you know, that when he got bundled over and he's had those moments a few times, you think that's really, really poor.
Yeah, that's not him having a world-class centre-half going to solve those kind of problems, is it, really? I know what you're saying. I mean, the thing is, you go back to this Ole in, Ole out. You know my feelings on Ole. And I think, you know, for him, I still wouldn't look at judging him until he's brought in a centre-half and a right-winger. It's pretty apparent that's exactly what he wants. And I think it's unfair to judge him until he's got exactly what he wants in there. I mean, he's obviously progressed this side, and I still think you might as well persevere with it until he's got this squad looking like what he wants it to do. And once he gets a centre-half and a right-winger, if he's not competing for titles and trophies, then yeah, maybe you do make a call on it. But at the moment, I don't really think that anyone could sort of do anything like that. When you look at a difficult window last year for everyone and how it worked out and people making excuses about no money to spend or whatever. But, you know, to mention Sancho again, it's like, maybe he is the answer. I don't know. You know, you get him and you get a world-class centre-half, it's going to change things, definitely. It's going to improve us massively.
Yeah, but are we, Nick, but then, you know, Glazers, pandemic, are we going to spend 150 million that that needs at least? World-class central defender, what, is that 80 million?
Maybe, yeah. It just depends where you get your centre-half from, doesn't it, really? I mean, if Dortmund stick to 110 million, again, we're just going with numbers that they've quoted, but...
Please, God, not Sergio Ramos. God.
I do think there's a bit of... like, this goes back to, like, the old thing about, I don't know if it's director of football or whatever there is, but the kind of lack of backbone footballing now to the club. You know, really, we should be... it's not Sancho, it's not the only right-sided player surely in the world that could improve us, you know, and we seem to be only these days connected with like the usual names,
yeah,
or some has-beens, and I think, you know, there's got to be a more intelligent in the market to support Ole. But I agree with Nick, I think the Ole out thing is far too premature at a given time, but equally, it's equally fair to say he's got to learn his game management. You know, in game, he's got to show evidence that he's learning from that. At the moment, in this spell, to me, it's got a bit stagnant, and he's not showing enough tactical nous for this team to change it up when we're struggling to play cup teams. Like, you can't tell me that it's, you know, you've got to expect teams like West Brom to sit behind the ball, and we've got to expect to be able to create against teams like that and be a bit more inventive and quicker with the ball forward.
It does make me, I have the moments where I stop and think, has a pandemic really happened? Is this all happening? Second point, we're three or four short at least, and this squad cost 800 million. You know, fucking, that's almost like as madness as this. And then, you know, like the Donny thing, just to cover all these bits, because we haven't done one in a couple of weeks. He looked like he didn't know what to do. Play it safe. You know, so I'll play it safe, but in doing that, there's just no point having you on the pitch. So I get it. Ollie was saying things last, you know, Fred takes a year, so maybe that's the plan. Now, Matt is no saviour. We've debated that one. But I found it odd that the one player who could break down with temp isn't even seen. So where's Matt at? Has he got COVID? Has he just fucking disappeared off the face of the earth? But in saying that, if I'm saying like yesterday, we need a Mata, that sort of hints when it's not going right, how deep you can fall into an abyss of thinking, I don't want doom to come again. I don't want doom to come again.
It's, yeah, I think, yeah, a bit like you, my heart sank a bit. You know, it's West Brom, they're near the bottom. Not saying any game's easy, but to set up with two defensive midfielders betrays to me that he's got a lack of trust in the centre back.
Can I disagree with that? I don't think his intention at kickoff was to have two sitting midfielders, older midfielders. You know, we're talking about McTominay, who scored what, 8 goals this season, and I think the intention was for Fred to sit in and for McTominay to push forward like he did in the second half. It's just that we're on the back foot after 90 seconds or 60 seconds because we're 1-0 down, and we never got playing until the 40th minute. But I, you know, in defence of Ollie, I think the intention was for McTominay to be pushing forward like he did in the second half.
But that worries me, Coggy, because sometimes then we just miss what the plan is. And it's like the players miss what the plan is as well. You know, you could tell Fernandes was getting so...
He off that first half because no player got into the game in the first half.
No, Fernandes was poor, but he was getting really angry, you know. And sometimes I think, God, he's not going to fucking hang around if this can... and I will, Rashford's finishing sometimes, going back to, oh God, I forget the game, Everton. There's sometimes that you think where you'd want to him now in the sixth season to be putting those chances away. And he's had a decent season, but you still want more. I mean, Martial's not even finishing. I'm not even going to go there with it. I don't know. I don't want to be knee-jerk in one way or next, but that sometimes the niggles come back when you have a little bad patch, don't they? And as you said, we said a couple of weeks ago, at least Ollie admitted, we've not set the house on fire. You know, Southampton was the event of the sending off, but at least they were relentless. We've done very well to get where we are, but I just don't want to fucking implode. I don't know, maybe. I started all right. I've had 20 minutes in the garden today, outdoors. There was a tiny bit of warmth. It was clearing up cat shit, but that's for an older. But I thought, God, I can see some, changing coming.
Can I just say that, just going back to that bit about the two Ollie midfielders yesterday, what Ollie needs to do is be a bit braver, because I think what he could have done yesterday is had McTominay and Van de Beek in, or Fred and Van de Beek. And I think he needs to be brave. And if it doesn't work after 60 minutes, it doesn't work. But, you know, to give Van de Beek a bit more confidence and say, look, you know, you're going to get a run of four or five games in the team. Show us what you can do.
I'd agree. I would say that if you, and I know it takes time to settle in, etc., but if you pay, what was it, 50 million plus for a kind of an experienced Champions League midfielder from Ajax, you'd expect, okay, Pogba's hit some form and maybe he gets dropped, he's second fiddle to Pogba. But with Pogba injured, surely you've got to play him. Surely you've got to give him a run. Otherwise, what's the
point? Yeah, and for me, Greenwood had his best game of the season against Everton. So, you know, I was rather hoping, I know he's going to be, you know, the resting, but I was rather hoping when a player's had their best game, I don't know. I'm overthinking everything. After West Ham, when Maguire was eating a banana at extra time, I thought, is he going to wake up and need a shit at 2 o'clock in the morning? So I'm overanalyzing every aspect of United. Shut up, Barney. Right, quick plug for the mag. It's out in 3 weeks. So much work's going into it. Please, please support by ordering this one, because obviously we're not selling at games. Orders are much lower because I know people are finding it tough. But if you're a regular reader, get in touch and I'll always send it and just pay us whenever. Alex, Christy and Leonard have said nice things about the podcast. We've actually, which is really nice, got a bit of interaction. Chris has sent a thing I'll play at the end. Always send us clips if you want. The t-shirt offer remains. You get two t-shirts for £4. You're not paying for the shirts there on Red News because we want a clear space. You get for £4 two t-shirts, good offer. Just tell us your size, PayPal, rednewsweb@mac.com, and I'll sort it. Already about 10 of you have done that, and I'm just clearing space and you're getting two of our t-shirts. I fuck knows. I've forgotten. Go on, Shane, help me out of misery.
Yeah. Well, I'll help you out. I'll order a T-shirt off you.
That's not what I meant.
If you want me to model it as well.
Selling my wares.
I think it is, you know, we're in a bit of a poor run. I think Nick said way back, you know, back probably before Christmas, that, you know, Ollie has a habit of digging out the result when the back's against the wall. And it's a bit, you know, we do go on these runs and it goes into a slump and we go on a run again. So hopefully he can get one of those runs going. I agree with Nick that I would say Greenwood is our best kind of attacking player alongside Cavani for me. And I think, you know, he's more direct and more clinical than Martial and Rashford on current form. So he would be my preferred choice if he's fit and ready.
But he's not had a good season. You know, like sometimes when you, and again, I'm sounding fucking doom and gloom, give my head a wobble. But if you look at this season, however well we've done, and we have done well, keep it going. How many players would you actually say have had a good, you know, we're nearly 35 games into every competition. Well, Fernandes are obviously excellent. Shaw, excellent.
That's it. Really?
So then you start thinking, you know, you the sum of all parts have worked together, but you don't want it. This would be the worst possible time to see. And not even, you know, for the Europa, Ollie did an interview with MUTV and he went, next game, you know, they're relentless at the moment. And he went, a Spanish team in Italy. And he didn't add to the, but he gave a look of what the fuck is going. I think, you know, if they're doing that, delay the competition, play at the end of the season, fucking pointless. I'd be gutted if we get an injury on Thursday after an extra 2-hour flight. To just what? What are we doing that for? What is the point of playing all these games? It's just ridiculous during a global pandemic. No one ever says pandemic, do they? Always say global pandemic. Come on, Nick.
Is that, it's got to be global, hasn't it, to be a pandemic?
I don't get technical. Next slide, please.
Can I just say, I'd like to buy Shane one of those T-shirts because after seeing him in a vest on Friday night, I had nightmares. So I'm going
to
treat.
To put that into context, it was these seller's 40th and he didn't want a big hoo-ha, but we arranged a WhatsApp call, and Shane, now you either look at it that he was the one doing what we should have all done, and he had party lights, which we were wondering if he'd get raided, and the coppers thought he was actually having a party, and he was in a vest in honour of Steve, but the rest of us were not taking part in this. So at the end of the evening he looked like Trainspotting episode gone wrong, where he's just sat with these strobe lights.
Just to add a twist to it, it was at the front of the house with this disco light. So you could, if you were outside the house, you could see that. So neighbours could probably see a disco light. And then my landlord, generally, we'd had some food earlier, and he got sick through the, like, he genuinely got sick, and he couldn't make it to the toilet, so he was sick out of his bedroom window. So I'm thinking, shit, the disco light's going. There's someone puking up an upstairs window. Like, we're definitely going to get, like, I can see now the neighbours are going to blank me and sort of say, "Bastard, this is why we're sitting
lockdown." He's broken lockdown. Nick, drag us back to reality.
Yeah, it is what it is. I don't know. I just kind of think, I'm fairly optimistic that we're going to pick up. You know, I think we just need a bit of confidence thing. I was looking at Bradford yesterday, and whether it's tiredness or confidence. He's just like, there's times when Mashford just hits the ball instinctively early, and that's when he's at his best. But in the last few weeks, he's been sort of overthinking it. You know, he'd take a turn or he'd try and control it first. And I think that's probably typified with a bit of confidence in the team at the moment. They've lost that bit of mojo. And I go back to what I said earlier. I was one that would have been glad to see him gone. But I do think in the good run we had, we all look at Bruno, but I think Pogba was creating a lot for us, and I think we've missed his story with him being injured on that form. So,
but if he's off in the summer, we're going to miss him, you know, and he's only done half a season out of five. What concerns me, Shane, is that I've got mates who don't think Ollie's up to it, that he's done well and he's steadied the ship, you know, but he's taken us to the point that he can't. I disagree with that, and I keep maintaining, see where we are in May, and I'd even say maybe now, after this season so far, see where we are next May. But there are, the Ollie out is, you know, there are people who are sound who also have significant doubts. But what I struggle is that if Ollie's never going to get the opportunity to free himself from one or two bad results leads to this massive Ollie out hashtag, then it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy that I've said before, that he will never escape it. You know, so you never... there's two last things. Sorry, Shane, to go, but I was looking... Because this is where I confuse myself. I've gone through old programmes, and Fergie, when we lost... Coggy was probably there. It was a dour day. I think May 86... Bank holiday Monday, Easter Monday. No, April it would have been. We lost May, fuck it. White Hart Lane got stuff 4-0, Glenn Hoddle and Waddle, I think it was. And Fergie said, "I'm still embarrassed by this performance. Not this is comparable to yesterday, but I've just found it today. And it's the heaviest defeat, and I've told them, the players, they should be embarrassed. Our players don't really know they're born. I told them at no other club would they enjoy the kind of encouragement they did at Spurs. It doesn't matter where they go after United, they will never experience support like this club's again." And he says, "Everyone has to be aware of the responsibilities of being associated with United." So that's where I read that and I think, you know, fist pumps, you've got to demand the best. You've got to want to win the league. Then Samat wrote Soccer at the Top, and he goes, "The matter of feeling important is as important to a supporter as to a player. Supporters claim proprietorship of a team. We played a blinder, we had a stinker, and why shouldn't they? It's their money we are spending. If we are a club and a club is people, the supporters are our sponsors. They pay for the privilege of claiming success if the team wins and for playing hell if it loses. All I would ever ask of the supporter is for their patience when there seems to be an action, and action is needed, and their understanding that it is always possible from the outside to not see what is really a good reason from the inside." And I read that, and then you think, then you want calm, you know. So I conflict myself, and maybe it's this immediacy that we were talking about last time, that you just think you need time to think Sorry, lad. Sorry, Shane. No, interrupt.
Well, I think you said it or Nick. You know, like I avoided Twitter yesterday. And I, you know, like particularly during the last year, social media has been a bit of a saviour, really, keeping us connected to the world and something to do. But it is barn part, and I think equally, you know, supporters have got a right to criticise and have got a right to an opinion. That's, you know, like a fanzine exists for that very reason, etc. But I think the knee jerk and some of the stuff, more the unsavoury stuff, and there's no place for that. But the knee jerk stuff does annoy me a bit. And I don't know. I hate to talk about Liverpool and crikey, you know, no one enjoys their sort of downfall this season more than me. But you've got sort of like Klopp out, Jurgen Klopp out campaigns on Twitter. Well, this is a fella that's just delivered from the European Cup and the first league title in 30 years, and then 12 months later. Less than 12 months later, they're asking for his head. You know, so that's the sort of like the madness you get on social media. You just kind of, I kind of think you have to tune out a bit. I think there's a difference between critical and offering an opinion to this sort of like ranting about kind of our layout and sort of.
Well, know, the bunkers were. Someone sent me after the 9-0. This is after the 9-0. Someone tweeted that night that Ollie wasn't good enough. You just think if you can't. Gain, but we mentioned it. I don't know. I've hit the wall with games. There's so much like tonight. I've not watched them, but it's like, but there are two more games tonight. It's just, and it's felt like we needed a week. We all needed, I'd say, the players a week's break from United, and they're not getting on. I mean, we've all gone bonkers. Before half term, my boy was learning going on a bear hunt and like the author singing it. He does a YouTube of the author. And at the end, my missus came in with me singing it on my own to my boy, where he's just looking at me like, what a twat. And she just looked and gave a look of, what the fucking hell are you doing? And I'm doing all the actions. And he's just going, well, I'm not joining. So we've all gone bonkers. So United's that bit of sanctuary and sanity. But when it tips, that's when you suddenly, Nick? I don't know. I say that a thousand.
You're saying about the relentless amount of games at the moment. One of the things I was just thinking about then, really, is I think, to be fair, over the last couple of matches, our schedule's probably been as good as it possibly could have been, really. I mean, we played Tuesday, didn't we, against West Ham. Then we play all the way again on Sunday. You know, it's not a week, but it's 5 days. And then after that, we have to wait another 5 days before we play again against Sociedad. So, you know, in terms of having a break and being the opportunity to rest some players against West Ham. And then
yeah, I get, but Nick, 10 games in 30 days or whatever is not, you know, come on. If we were going, we'd be
fucked. No, it still helps, though. You know, I still think even as a professional athlete, I think it still helps. It's like,
But then we don't expect that view. I get that, and they're paid, but it's almost like, you know, you want them to be robots, and that's not the world. They live it, you know, they can't, they're not seeing, you know, they're going, I don't know, I'm maybe giving them more slack than they deserve. And it comes back that, you know, if we're going to be, why the fuck didn't we buy a centre-back last summer when we all said we're desperate for it? Wouldn't we be in a league-winning position possibly if we did have a centre-back? Yeah, but then, this is where I confuse myself, last point, and I'll let you, letting one go in yesterday should not affect that the fucking strikers should score two against West Brom, who've let in 50 goals.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think, like, I agree with you, Barney. It's inevitable there's going to be tiredness, and we're seeing it with the patchy up and down results across the league, as you said earlier. But equally, it's the same for all the teams. You know, everyone's got this intense schedule. And, you know, so it's, I don't think it totally excuses the results in its entirety, but yeah, it is a factor. I kind of think that the question mark for me is we've spent a significant amount of money, and for that money, you should have a squad that allows a bit of rotation, and you can still beat West Brom or you know, a team that's second from bottom. Are they? So I think, you know, I just think we have to question the fact that we've got, I don't know, Van der Beek 50 million, Fred, what was he, 50 million? We've got a sort of like series of midfielders, you know, that are costing a lot of money that we're saying are kind of like we're saying about Fred, really. I think we would all agree he's having a reasonable season in as far as his strengths go, but that's because he can win the ball back for us, but he can't pass it to save his life. So we're sort of, it's all relative to how he was before. So he's playing a role in his team, but it's not ultimately good enough. And we've spent quite a lot of money on players like him, and that's not good enough, really. And that to me is where I think Ole needs support
Yeah.
With kind of like a structure at the club or someone that's going to kind of like scout top quality players across Europe, buy players that can actually pass to one of their teammates.
Well, I'm laughing, Shane.
I
better not mention it to my mate that when I have the Fred argument, look, I can see why he's picked these days. And I go, if you can get past the passing. And he went, get past the passing. It's the fucking thing a footballer's there for.
Well, I don't know if he's listened to this one, but a mate, Tom Malloy, Withamshaw, sort of, I was defending Fred about he wins the ball back a lot. And he said, for fuck's sake, Shane, but he's the one giving it away to win it back. You know, it's like the only thing you can do is tackle. So he decided to give it to the opposition to give himself another tackle. You know, it's like a kind of repeat. It's a loop that he's going to pass to the opposition, win it back, pass to the opposition, win it back.
Are we being too soft or hard on them, Coggy? Am I being soft?
Yeah, you know, obviously we've been talking about we need a new centre half and we need a right wing and we'll change completely. The worrying thing is that we have, you know, we haven't got a replacement holding midfielder, have we? You know, McTominay's not good enough really. Fred shouldn't really be playing. And Matic is on his way out. And there's nobody in the under-23s, I think, that I've seen that you think, yeah, they can step up to that. And to me, that's the biggest worry.
I like, you know, McTominay. I will disagree with you there, Cookie. I will say, you say Matic is on the way out. We gave him like a 55-year deal a few months ago, so he's not going anywhere.
The reason why about McTominay is, and I do like him, I'm not sure he knows what sort of player he is, and I don't think Ollie knows what sort of player. If he's a holding midfield player, get him in the holding midfield player and develop that skill and nose and everything. But he's not, he's being pushed forward as to obviously score a few goals and I think that could actually, and then he's playing centre half for Scotland. So I don't think he knows what's his best position.
That brings the horrors of Jose playing him centre back against West Brom that day to make a point. But the thing, you know, like sometimes we label the players. Scholes was so far deep near the end of his career, you'd call him a defensive midfielder in terms of he'd spray the ball. But we were just we were so blessed to have quality players. Yeah. You realise when you've not got quality. Maguire cost 75.
We shouldn't be having McTominay and Scholes in the same conversation.
But Maguire cost 75 million. And I like it. I'm saying that as a, you know, I try and dig myself out that Maguire will be this person. But we spent, you know, like for the Scousers and you know who, they got that when they spent 75 million and we're still waiting 2 years on.
So if you look, like you hit on the head there with the midfield, really, Fred has put in some good shifts when, you know, like with those games away in Europe, he's done the job. But I think the problem is, sums it up, is the fact that we haven't got, you mentioned Scholes, we've had Carrick in the past, that we haven't got enough players that, you know, Pogba, Bruno aside, that can make those decisive passes. And I think what happens with us is we get the likes of Fred, they play it sideways to try and get it to a player who can get it forward. And by the time they do it, the other team has set themselves and it's too late. So I think we do need that extra bit of quality of more than a couple of players that can play a decisive pass forward. And we haven't got that. We've got players who bring the ball, lay it off, and it goes sideways.
Also, finish it, Shane. How many match winners have we actually got, you know, in terms of consistency? Take Fernandez's 30 whatever goals out of 30 games, and that's a whole new. We knew that. Nick, come on, drag me back. I've been pulled back into this fucking sea of negativity. But I don't want to see any United player criticised. Granted, you know,
I have no problem when it's Martial, to be honest, though. You know, I think he brings it on himself. I think if he was working hard and he was crap, you know, I look at players like, for example, Darren Fletcher when he was coming through. He wasn't the best of footballers when he first came through, but he gave it everything on the football pitch. And that was one thing, you know, that's all we've ever asked at United. It's always a case of making sure you give your best and at least you try. You know, and he's never done that. So it's nice to see him getting a bit of attention as well. So hopefully, Ole will realise that and try and pull him out of the squad a little bit more.
You know, Martial was at fault for that goal yesterday. You watch it back, and he didn't track his player back. He didn't track back with his player, who then provided the first cross, which we then partially cleared.
But wasn't it Everton as well? We did that, wasn't it? Or Sheffield United?
You watched the game. Martial is as bad, as much to blame for that goal yesterday as what Lindelof.
Oh no, Coggy. No, you can't. When you jump like a sack of potatoes like that, I mean. Every striker watching that will fancy it against Lindelof.
So you stop the ball from coming into the box in the first place.
Yeah, but that's a pretty damning thing, Coggy.
Martial failed to do that.
If our central defenders can't handle crosses, Jesus Christ. And they haven't all season.
Yeah, so you stop the crosses coming in.
I know, but that's...
When you start Cavani... yesterday, but you give credit to them, Coggy, for stopping short. But when you play Cavani down the middle like we did yesterday, you've got to get the ball out wide and put some crosses in for him. And I think Finno, who's been occasionally on here, has said that before, that, you know, we sometimes don't seem to play to our players' strengths. And I found that a bit odd yesterday. We're still trying to dribble the ball down the middle when you put a big centre forward in there that's yearning for a cross to go in high or low.
Because Shaw was cut out for a lot of that game, you got Martial on the left who can only come inside on his right, and you got Rashford on the right who tends not to perform particularly well over there. And albeit he did put a few decent crosses in, Wan-Bissaka's it's a miss, isn't it, as far as going forward's concerned. So we didn't actually set up a team to suit Cavani, did we? I mean, we were much better when Greenwood came on because he's more natural down the right than what Rashford is.
Well, it makes me laugh. The best player we've got in the air since Zlatan, and we don't put it on his head. No, I mean, that's just baffling. But I feel like if we could use songs and not be hammered for copyright, I'd be playing Hella Darkness, My Old Friend, but I don't want that. Come on, lads. We're going to beat Newcastle. They're shit. Come on.
One of the things is with Coggy as well, I think he took yesterday exceptionally bad, obviously being a closet Wolves fan and it being a Black Country derby. So I think that's why he's a little bit more bitter today than perhaps maybe he usually is.
Neto. Don't sign Sancho, sign Neto. I'll tell a little story.
He's a very good player.
My son-in-law is a season ticket holder at West Brom, which means my three-year-old grandson is an Albion fan. Anyway, when I phone him up every day on FaceTime, like I do, because it was match day, his dad had dressed him up in the Albion kit. So I said, bugger off. Granddad's not talking to you today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Can I quickly say, how are our COVID veterans, all right?
Yeah, fine. Still got a bit of a cough and can't smell or taste anything.
So you're going with the whiskey on a Monday night approach?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's literally that and Dijon mustard are the only two things I can taste.
Oh, so you got two things back. I wonder what the third will be.
What a combination.
Are you having Dijon mustard and whiskey together just by the pint like Sam Allardyce does gravy?
No, we had a blind taste testing on Friday night. I don't think the missus quite believes me that I've lost my misspell and taste. So she was like feeding things into my gob trying to guess me to guess what they were, and the only thing I get was mustard. So
I'm just having, when I've said that we'll beat Newcastle, these visions of even Newcastle. No, we're not. We're going to be all right, aren't we, lads? I don't mean a wider COVID. Go to work, don't go to work. I mean, just United, we're going to be all right, aren't we?
I've noticed that the other thing that's annoyed me a bit is that my weekend takeaways have started to mirror United's form. Like, they were the highlight of my week. And then a couple of weeks ago, I inadvertently ordered two of the same KFC orders, so I got two came. And then I spent half the night arguing with Uber about refunding it. And then the bloke, eventually it got to the parcel sign, he goes, well, have you got a picture of the second order? But of course, I'd fucking eaten the second order by then, even though I was complaining for the refund. And then we had Nando's, which was very kind of mundane, a bit like David Moyes football. And the Chinese this week, as I say, I just gorged myself on it and then couldn't move for 24 hours. Which is like, it was like, maybe it turned me into Maguire.
I'm gonna be a called Lorne Fauntleroy here, but you shouldn't be having a KFC as your takeaway at the weekend. Come on, shame.
But I've got teenage children, so we have to sort of chop it around a bit. So like, these people, you know, taking turns voting for it. But But in fairness, KFC gravy has been a good discovery for me. It's good stuff, yeah.
You're too easy going here. Put your foot down. You're paying for it. You get what you want. I say that as someone who's walked over every decision here. So, right, Nick is always going to be positive. Coggy, come on, when you're feeling it, it's bad.
No, I mean, listen, I'm surprised. No, I'm happy that where we are, we're in the quarterfinal of the FA Cup. We're still in Europe, but things have frustrated me because we've dropped points against teams that really we shouldn't be, and you know. 3 or 4 weeks ago, second looked nailed on. Now, West Ham are 4 points behind us or something like that, you know. And Lingard has become the new Pele again.
but I feel dirty for thinking it. But I'm not. I've always been eyeing fifth place and what's your points difference there? And that started to be a, you know, and that's I think we have to win a cup. I mean, that you win a cup now and it changes. I don't know. And then part of me thinks it's all fucking ridiculous. We're not there. Stop getting so worked up, Barney.
Watching the under-23s and the under-18s is good fun.
Yeah.
I'd recommend that to all United fans because they play some cracking football.
That's the way forward. Yeah. All right, Nick.
By the time we get back to go, they'll be
first team.
they'll be on their testimonials. Go on, Nick. Yeah. Final word to you, mate. Nick?
Oh, me, sorry.
Sorry, are you with the BBC there?
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah. It's just my dodgy internet cutting out.
Just pay your bills.
What's that? I do pay my bills. I just don't have a TV aerial.
You're using next door's Wi-Fi, aren't you? Go on, right, sorry.
You think I was in the sticks somewhere, really, in North Manchester. I'm still inside the M60. I still agree with you. Still think we need to win a trophy, but... You know, I think things will come back on now. You know, obviously, the only downside is obviously we've got these rotating games, haven't we, in the Europa League, where you're going to see a few dull affairs, I'm sure, against a half-decent Sociedad. But, you know, if we can get back on the saddle against Newcastle and we can start picking some players that probably are our best 11, i.e. starting Greenwood over Martial, making sure Cavani's still starting up top, then, yeah, I still think we've got a chance. You know, hopefully we can get Bailly back fit and we can start to see a bit more of that United that we saw over Christmas, that we're grinding out results and still managing to churn out the odd bit of nice football, then we've got a chance to pick up 3 points each week.
I just want to see better football. And I keep thinking, you know, the front has to click, because if they don't, then there's serious questions. But Thursday's just, you may as well pick fucking Mike the Chef and get Welsh Phil and get Nigel Appleton. Playing a Spanish team in Italy for it just... It's that global pandemic. Right, cheers, lads. Onwards and upwards. Come on, you're not smiling. I know I got you in on a Monday night, but come on. Come on, please. No doom. Right, see you later, lads.
Cheers, lads.
Hiya, Barney. It's Ken as ASDs, mate. If Ollie wins, we all win, but my God, he makes it difficult to back him sometimes. His selection yesterday, West Bromwich chip 54 goals, yet he starts Fred and McTominay. I was sold on Beaky being a superb ball-playing number 10 who's got a skill for arriving and scoring from the edge of the box late. Yet Ollie insists on throwing him on for the last couple of minutes or being a number 10 replacement for Bruno, which he's never going to be. Sam Allardyce, you know exactly what Sam Allardyce's teams is going to do to you in the box. Yet he starts Lindelof with Bailly fit. Lindelof. Pan Am's safer in the air than Lindelof. And as for Captain Maguire... The last 20 minutes of him marauding around their final third thinking he was backing Mykonos' backstreets. He completely diluted our attack. He was getting in Bruno's way, and I'm sure it was well-intentioned with him thinking he was Diego Maradona and all, but it made us less likely to score than Matt Hancock after dropping an Ian at a beef and nightclub. His decision-making was about as good as Hancock's as well, when from that late free kick he demanded that Bruno struck it towards him at the back post rather than shoot. Our sub-selection as well, where's Ahmad Diallo? Surely we could throw him on for the last 15 minutes from the bench. And what about Mata? Rest in peace, Mata. Ah, oh, it's so disappointing. Open the pubs.